This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Let's join now in Studio A, WSMI's David Jenkins. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. Big time sporting weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Here in the States. Maybe, you know, we look back on it come the end of the year, like kind of the yearly recap. This might be the biggest sports weekend of the year.
Could be. It's definitely one of them.
You got the 141st reign of the Kentucky Derby,
yep.
By the way. I didn't realize till yesterday that was happening.
Same here, too. But I hadn't. You didn't hear about it, anything about it this year.
The Mayweather-Pacquiao fight has really swallowed up everything non-NFL here in the sports world the last couple of weeks. So you got the Derby. You got the mega fight. You got the NFL draft. You got the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs going on. Major League Baseball is in full swing. But thankfully, yesterday, David, we finally had suitable weather for baseball and softball across the Lissington area. Lots of games were played yesterday. And why couldn't the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament have been today? We needed this day last week.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think it used to be second to last Saturday in April, and now it's the last Saturday in April. And
it doesn't matter, though. Whatever weekend it is, it's going to rain.
Sure. Well, we've had a good run of it lately, too. I mean, we were due for some bad weather.
And it definitely got us last week. Now, the title game's going to be played a week from today, correct?
Yes, it's May 9th from Stearin Field in Raymond, and it'll be the championship game between the Nokomis Redskins and the Litchfield Purple Panthers, a game I think the first pitch will be at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's a game we will have for you. I heard yesterday on the broadcast, that's when I was finding out about it, that we will have for you on WSMI FM 106. Who's doing the game? I don't know.
TBD.
Yeah.
TBD.
To be determined.
But we had
does
baseball.
That really matter?
No, it does not. We had baseball on the radio yesterday. It was a good one between North Mac and Lincolnwood.
Yes, it was. And, of course, the Panthers of North Mac, they got the better end of the game. They won over Lincolnwood by a score of 5-4. Also around the area, Greenville defeated Litchfield 13-2. Jacob Hall was the winning pitcher. He also hit a grand slam.
That's a good day.
Yeah, pretty good day. Gillespie defeated Vandalia 10-6, and Eli Fox for the Miners, 3 hits, so another good day.
He's a good little ball player, too.
He is. Good athlete.
He really is.
All around.
Phenomenal.
Morrisonville beat Oka Valley 8-7. Morrisonville's had a really good season on the baseball diamond. Really good sports year, what with winning a basketball regional. Now they looking like a really good baseball team.
And you'll see that at the small school level sometimes where you'll be able to carry the momentum from basketball right into spring.
Yeah. North Green defeated Athens 3-1. Williamsville defeated Riverton 10-2. And Moroa Forsyth over Taylorville 4-3. To the softball diamond, Greenville defeated Litchfield 6-4. So the Comets sweep the Purple Panthers yesterday. Gillespie 11, Vandalia 0. Decatur MacArthur beat Nokomis 13-3. North Green defeated Athens 10-0. Riverton over Lanphier 11-7. Edwardsville over Civic Memorial 10-0. And Nashville over Pinckneyville 7-0. Nashville 27-0. Not a bad start to the year.
Pretty good. The Hornets powerful once again.
Yes. Girls soccer, Pena defeats Greenville 4-2. And Carlinville over Gillespie 6-0. And that looks like that's all for the team sports for high school yesterday.
And we will have a big week of high school softball and baseball on the radio next week. Monday, it'll be softball with Gillespie traveling to Raymond to take on Lincolnwood. That'll be live 4:20 on Monday on AM 1540. And then high school baseball for you on Thursday. It'll be Staunton and Litchfield. And that'll be a FM 106 broadcast Thursday night, 7:03. All the action streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. And that Thursday broadcast is on FM 106 because, well, we got Cardinal baseball that day.
Yep.
They're playing the Cubbies.
Hey, first and second place teams in the division matching up.
It's nice to be able to say that.
Yeah. The Cardinals are apparently they have the best record in baseball right now.
How about that, huh?
Yeah.
They
good start.
Cardinals had a very good week. We'll get into Cardinal baseball here as the show rolls along. We'll have them on the radio this afternoon as well, taking on the Pirates live coverage 12:20 this afternoon over on WSMI AM 1540. Right now, we do need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, Cardinal baseball coming up this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon at 12:20 on AM 1540 as the Cardinals playing the Pirates over the weekend, and they won it in extra innings last night, David, 2-1 in 10 on Matt Adams' bases loaded, game-winning hit. And
yeah,
boy, did Matt Adams have himself a week.
He had a very good week, and he's starting to come out of that early season slump that he began with. And it's good to see. Good to see him go the other way yesterday to win the game.
Showed power against Philadelphia, which was good to see. And, of course, the Cardinals' offense really took off this week when Mike Matheny made the move to put John Jay in the leadoff spot, shift Matt Carpenter down to the two-hole. And, you know, it's a results-driven business, and you can't argue with the results. They're 4-0 with the new lineup.
Right. Well, and there was talk about doing that this season at some point. Before the season started, there was talk about moving Carpenter down because of the postseason he had last year. He led the Cardinals in RBIs and home runs, I believe, in last year's postseason. And there was talk about dropping him down the lineup. Where that be, who knows. But right now he's batting second. He could be at third at some point this season. I would say that's probably the furthest he'll fall. They won't want to drop him down. He's not a cleanup hitter. They won't want to drop him down to fifth.
Oh, so certainly not.
Probably third is the farthest he will fall.
I mean, let's be honest. He could be their leadoff man, their second hitter, or their three-hole hitter. He could fit all three of those as good as anybody on the club. And Holiday has proven he can hit cleanup over the years in St. Louis. But if Adams is going to hit like he's hit the last week with the power, he'll be just fine in the cleanup hole. But if not, you can put him down maybe in the six hole or whatever and figure it out. But right now, it's a good problem to have because what it did to me, putting Jay at the top, now your whole lineup is deep. Instead of Jay and Wong being stacked 7 and 8, now you've got Yachty down in that seven hole. And now you're talking about a lineup. There's no let up.
Well,
there's no break.
They had Yachty in the seven hole and they had Jay and Wong separated, you know, 6 and 8 because they wanted to spread out the lefties. Now they got Hayward 6, which is, he's kind of starting to hit a little better now, and really they want to try and get him going. That was really probably the reason behind all these moves was to try to get Hayward going because he wasn't doing too great in the second hole.
And with Hayward 6, Yachty 7, Wong 8, you've actually got some thunder and pop at the bottom part of your order.
Yeah.
And Jay has proven over the years he can get on base.
Yep.
You know, he never looks to do too much. He'll hit the ball where it's pitched. So the other night, I think maybe the first game where he hits leadoff, he gets a little single through the hole. Carpenter rips a triple into the gap.
Yeah.
1-0.
Well, and, you know, Wong has been getting on base in front of Jay and Carpenter as well. So you really just have the pitcher separating everybody because everybody else is getting on base. I mean, it's amazing what the lineup did this past week because of the moves.
I mean, they destroyed the Phillies.
Yeah, outside of game one.
Right. And they still had that, I think, the Wainover effect, the hangover effect of losing Waino in that first game.
The Wainover effect. I like that. The Wainover effect.
Of course, that was a week ago today
when
he went down with the Achilles, and that was obviously the worst-case scenario. Outside of losing Yachty for the year, losing Wainwright, would be a devastating injury for the Cardinals, but this is where the Cardinals are the Cardinals.
Right.
You didn't see him panic. There was no freaking out. They just stayed the course, do what we do, and they've got the best record in baseball.
Well, you wonder what they will do for the next for Wainwright's next turn in the rotation because Cooney got sent down for a reliever. I wonder if Carlos Villanueva is the next guy because he pitched so well in relief in the game that Cooney started. He started before. He can spot start for you. They're probably just waiting for Marco Gonzalez to get healthy from that pec injury.
And you'd have to think that Villanueva earned the next start, like you said, with his performance. And we've joked about it throughout the year. Where is Jaime Garcia? He's coming. He's out of extended spring now, so he's going to start kind of getting into what would be like the first week of spring training now. So he's still probably a month, 5 weeks away.
He's been throwing simulated games, I think, right now.
How ironic and great would it be if Jaime could come back and kind of – they only, you know, just give him one or two starts maybe. If that's all they get, that's all they get.
Till Marco's ready?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they've got the guys. They just got to find a way to get those lefties healthy.
The concern they have right now is it's not necessarily to fill that fifth spot. It's to fill it with the right guy. And I say that because – as you've heard from everybody else in the media, losing Wainwright, you're losing 230 innings a season. So, and, you know, Carlos Martinez is going to be on an innings count because he's coming out of the bullpen. Michael Wacha's coming off a shoulder injury that shortened his season last year, so he's going to be on an innings count. So, really, Lynn and Lackey are the two that you're going to get probably 200 innings out of each, but you're still going to have to get quite a few innings. I don't know if even Marco, if he pitches the full season, if he's going to be able to be, you know, the guy for the entire time. If he misses, like, say, a month or two, then, yeah, he could probably finish the season off with you in the rotation. But that's why there's been all this talk about going out and getting another starter, because they need innings at this point.
And obviously you don't want it to have the cumulative effect of wearing your bullpen down as the season moves along, which is what can happen if you don't have starters going deep into the game. But I think the Cardinals will be okay in the regular season,
right,
where the loss of Wainwright to me will really hurt. Yeah, the innings for the regular season is bad, but the Cardinals will find a way to manipulate that. They'll make it work. They'll do the necessary things, whether it's a trade later on in the year, or, you know, whether it's the young guys coming up and filling in. But you get to the playoffs, and if you're in a series against the Dodgers or the Nationals, and you've got to deal with those pitching staffs, and you don't have Waino, that's where it becomes a big-time problem. Are they legitimate contenders to win the World Series like they were with Wainwright? You can never bet against them just because of their track record and their history.
Yeah.
But if you get into a playoff series, and you've got a Game 1 and a Game 5 against the Nationals with Max Scherzer, and you don't got Wainwright to match him,
but
you never know. Walker or Martinez could wind up being that guy down the road.
Right.
When you look at it now, come playoff time, they'll be hurting.
That being said, was Wainwright done for you in the big postseason games against those teams? Look at his last start against the Dodgers in the postseason. He went, what, four innings, gave up seven runs?
That's a fair point. He hasn't exactly been Chris Carpenter in his starting career.
Last time he faced the Nationals in the postseason, he went three innings and gave up six runs. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's the ace of the club, and they're going to miss him.
No doubt about it.
But
you're right, though. He got lit up in Game 1 of the World Series in 2013 against Boston.
Yep.
Got lit up in Game 1 against the Dodgers in the series last year.
Yep.
Got lit up coming off Tommy John against the Nationals.
Yeah, didn't pitch great in the first game against the Giants. He only gave up three runs, but still, he gave up three runs in probably six or seven innings.
That is weird if you really start to think about it. Like, the biggest starts that he's made really haven't gone well.
Yeah. I mean, he's had great moments in the postseason. I mean, Game 5 against Pittsburgh in 2013, Game 1 against Pittsburgh in 2013. He pitched pretty well against Los Angeles in Game 3 in 2013 of the NLCS. You know, he had that moment where he matched Kershaw back in 2009 in Game 2.
Oh, the holiday game.
Yeah, the holiday game.
The holiday game,
yeah. So he's had his moments, but he's also had some really bad playoff. He's not just had a couple. He's had some really bad playoff starts.
And, you know, absolutely, and that will happen. But with that said, I'll take him Game 1 and take my chances.
Sure. Yeah, and he did. I mean, that
but
being
think
said,
about
I was ready to count him out last year in the postseason, and then he pitched as well as he did in Game 5 in San Francisco. You know, they happened to lose the game, but he pitched like an ace. So that kind of rejuvenated his playoff career.
And as great as Wainwright has been, and he's one of the greatest starting pitchers in the history of the St. Louis Cardinals, you start talking about those postseason things, it really makes me appreciate how good and dominant Bob Gibson and Chris Carpenter were in October. How it's a second season. It's a different type of feel, different type of vibe. And those two guys for the Cardinals are at the top of the list. And there's a pretty good separation, I would say, between the next guys on the list. When you're talking about October domination from a starting pitcher perspective, you think about what Carpenter did over those runs. Think about what Gibson did, of course. That's dominating.
Yeah.
Like Jack Morris back in the day throwing a 10-inning shutout in Game 7 of the World Series. You know, you have a chance. It's a different type of lore that you can, you know, be remembered for if you do it in October.
I mean, one of the things that it really makes me appreciate is, and you mentioned it, was Chris Carpenter. I mean, yeah, Bob Gibson, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, but and Hall of Famer. Chris Carpenter's not going to get anywhere near the Hall of Fame. But just the fact that he's going to go down as probably one of the top three Cardinal pitchers of all time, strictly for what he did in the postseason. I mean, before his last two losses in the postseason, when he lost to the Giants two games in 2012.
Which he was pitching without a rib,
right,
by the way.
And could barely feel his face.
Right.
I think 10-4 he ended up in his postseason career. And just the dominance that he had. I mean, we're talking about a guy in Game 1 in 2011 of the NLDS going up against Roy Halladay. And Roy Halladay allows one run in, what was it, seven or eight innings. So what did Carpenter do? Carpenter didn't allow anything.
Right.
I mean, it just a fan. That right there is an ace.
That's the definition of it.
Yeah, and I think that is what Lance Lynn could develop into. Maybe not as good statistically, but he's definitely got the mentality, same mentality. So why not be able to develop into that type of pitcher?
Well, he very well could. And yeah. I think Carpenter is the second best pitcher right behind Gibby.
But that's
what's made the Cardinals so good over the years. Carpenter taught Wainwright.
Mm-hmm.
Wainwright has taught Lynn.
Yeah.
And Waka.
Yep.
And now eventually Waka and Lynn, they will kind of, maybe not necessarily Carlos Martinez, but Marco Gonzalez, Tim Cooney, the guys who are down in the minor leagues now, they're going to get tutored by Lynn and Waka, and on it goes. That's the beauty of the Cardinals. You saw it with John Jay. John Jay is probably the most unheralded player maybe in the history of the Cardinals. They try to give this guy's job away every single year, and every single year he just plays solid baseball. But I think to spring training 2 years ago when they brought Borges in to take John Jay's job,
mm-hmm.
what does John Jay do? Helps Peter Borges.
He helps
Peter Borges. Him out. You don't see that very much in professional sports this day because there's so much money at stake. You don't want the guy coming in to take your job and take your paycheck. But the Cardinals just, they seem to just check their egos at the door.
They do. And a lot of that is to Matheny. You know, I criticize and bash Matheny a lot, as you know, off the air. I'm not a big Matheny guy. But, you know, you have to give him his credit. What, 2012, 13, two division titles, three straight playoff appearances.
Been in the LCS every single year.
Been in the LCS every single year. One World Series trip so far.
And that's the beauty of baseball. Every fan base is always criticizing the manager for pitching moves or in-game strategies. And that's what makes baseball baseball. That's why it's so fun to follow. But to me, Matheny's strength is he's just got the pulse of the club.
Yeah,
it's like you've always heard in the last year and a half, he was always very hesitant, would just push away the idea of getting Carpenter out of the leadoff spot because he liked him getting on base. You know, because people had said for a while, boy, Carpenter, wouldn't he be better maybe in the middle of the order because he can drive the baseball, get mm-hmm. more RBIs? But Matheny was like, no, we like him there. But look what he did this year. Every season's different. As he was getting the feel and the vibe of his club, he sensed that something needed to change. It's not a big thing. You know, it's not major overhaul changes. Just a little tweak, and look what's happened. Well, the team has taken off.
And I think he's recognized that Carpenter's approach is different. Last year, you couldn't really drop him down in the order because last year, Carpenter had the mentality of a leadoff hitter. Not to say he doesn't have that this year, but last year, he was going way deep into at-bats and taking a ton of pitches. This year, he's being more aggressive. He hasn't taken as many pitches as he did last year.
And I think Carpenter said that was one of the things in the offseason he thought about and wanted to change it. He was too passive last year.
Yeah.
He wasn't aggressive enough. And, boy, you see it this year. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
If that pitcher lays in, you know, a BP fastball to start it off because they think, oh, he's not going to swing, he's drilling that puppy into the gap.
Sure. Yeah, and he's hitting close to 400 now. I think he's probably at 360. So,
He's on pace for like 100 doubles. And, you know, I'll be
honest.
Which
would break his franchise record.
A couple years ago when he hit 55 and broke Stan the Man's record, I thought, well, he can't be that good. That's got to be kind of like an anomaly, a fluky type of season with all the doubles. I think looking at him this year, I think last year was the anomaly.
He
didn't really hit for a lot of doubles, where he didn't really hit with the same, you know, type of consistency we're seeing this year and the year before. So I guess he's just a doubles machine.
He's
that's what he is.
Become the most reliable player on the team.
He might be the most reliable player in the National League.
Yeah,
because you know what you're getting from that guy.
Right. And how many days off does he get really?
Zero.
I mean, once in a while Matheny will give him a day off, but really he had that injury in 2012 where he strained his oblique early in the season. Other than that,
and he wasn't even a full-time player then.
Yeah, he was just a bench player. But, I mean, other than that, he's played just about every day.
He'll be in there today. You know that much.
He will. And one of the things I want to talk about, you brought up when mentioning the rotation, is how Carlos Martinez has all of a sudden become the Cardinals' best pitcher. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, we wondered what Carlos Martinez's season was going to be, and we've talked about this just a few times. But I said it was going to be – he was either because of a – you know, him trying to honor Tavares, that he was either going to have just an absolutely horrible year or he's going to have the best year of his career. Even him having the best year of his career, I didn't think he could be as good as he's been. I mean, just because he's going deep into games.
Yes.
I mean, he went six innings in a start this week, but he was only at 85. five pitches, I think. Yeah. So he could have gone deeper. They just took him out because of the situation.
And last year he couldn't get through five without getting over 100 pitches.
Yeah. I mean, just it shows the work that he's put in through the off season. I mean, pitching in winter ball and, you know, really being serious about becoming a major league starter. They called him Little Pedro Martinez for a reason, and he looks like it.
It looks like he's become a pitcher now and not just the thrower. You know, he's not just relying on that 100-mile-an-hour fastball. He'll drop a slider or a change in a 2-0 count, which is what you have to do if you want to be successful at
and
the big league level.
He's got the best changeup in the system, they say. I mean,
better than Waka?
What they said. That's what the scouting report said, was his was the best changeup in the Cardinals system.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, the changeup is definitely Waka's best pitch, but they said Martinez's changeup is better. So,
you know, if you're going to lose your ace in Wainwright, it's nice to have a couple of guys under the age of 24 and Waka and Martinez.
What's the age of their starters now? I mean, you got Lackey, obviously, who's like 36 or 37.
Brings it up slightly.
Yeah. Lynn is, he's, I think, 87 was his birth year. So he's, 27, he'll be 28 this year, which... the next oldest at 28. How about that? Waka's only, I think I'm older than Waka, so he's like 23. Martinez is 22 or 23. And then Marco Gonzalez, whenever he comes in, he'll be 22 or 23.
Right. And how good, I mean, John Mozeliak, he could be really the executive of the year every year, seemingly for the last 5 or 6 years. And a lot of times it's the trade that you don't make that maybe can be the best. Everybody wanted Carlos Martinez this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wanted him. Anytime Mozeliak called about anything, well, we want Martinez. And to his credit, he didn't do it.
Right.
You know, he rolled the dice. They've been talking for years that this kid is special. He's just got the it factor. He has it. And so kudos to Mo for sticking to his guns and not giving up on Carlos Martinez.
He was the one the Braves wanted for Hayward. And Mozeliak said, how about we give you Shelby?
And Shelby Miller, he'll turn in probably to be a very fine pitcher.
He'll do a great start.
He is. But there's just something about Carlos Martinez. He's electric.
Yeah.
I mean, you see him in the dugout on days when he's not pitching. He's the biggest cheerleader. Which, from a starting pitcher, that you always like to see that. You know, if the starting pitcher is just kind of sitting there, maybe back in the clubhouse playing cards, that's no good.
Well, and
he's invested every day.
Carlos Martinez has a similar mindset to the guy he's been compared to, is Pedro Martinez. I mean, he's a confident guy. I mean, he knows he can pitch, and he acts like it. So.
Yeah. I wonder if his last name was Ramirez, would he be compared to Pedro? I wonder.
I don't know. He's a short Hispanic pitcher who could throw hard. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe not.
If he could be half of what Pedro was, he'll be great.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
We will see the Cardinals today, 12:20 on AM 1540, hosting the Pittsburgh
Pirates. You wonder and I know Martinez is off to a great start, and we don't want to trade him now, but you wonder if perhaps Martinez pitching against the Phillies was an audition earlier this week. Maybe if the Phillies were taking notes.
Oh, I'm sure they were, but I... Talk about potential acquisition
for
of Cole
Hamels. Yes.
I don't know.
Because and that's the thing. When Wainwright went down, there were a lot of folks who were jumping on the "we need to trade for Cole Hamels." And yeah, I understand it. He's another top of the rotation starter. Plus, it's not just a rental player. He's under contract for the next 2 or 3 years. But my question is, what are you willing to give up that the Phillies are going to take for him? Because remember, the Cardinals could have traded for Hamels in the offseason, but Ruben Amaro Jr.'s asking price was, you know, the moon.
And it's not any less than the moon now that Wainwright's out.
Exactly. I mean, if anything, he's in a position where Amaro has leverage. You know, he knows the Cardinals could be perceived as desperate, and they don't have
that's
the leverage.
That's a mistake.
Right.
The Cardinals are never And that is what has always separated the Cardinals from every other team in their division.
Yeah.
They don't have to go for broke on any given year. Like, you think about the Brewers a couple years ago. They're good. The Brewers, Reds, Pirates, they're really good, you know, once or twice every 10 years, honestly. The Cardinals are good every year. So when the Brewers or the Reds or the Pirates have a team coming out of spring that they view as, boy, this is a contender, we have a chance to win, they have to go for it. So if somebody gets hurt, they might have to unload their prospects to go get a Cole Hamels for this year. The Cardinals don't have to do that. They were there last year, the year before. They'll be there this year, next year, and probably the year after. So they don't have to panic and make a move just because they have a chance to win this year. Of course they have a chance to win this year. They have a chance to win every year.
And speaking
because they don't do stupid things like give up six prospects for a rental player.
And speaking of that, the Reds lost one of their stables in the rotation for the season with Homer Bailey having Tommy John surgery.
How bad is your rotation, though? Homer Bailey's one of your staples.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, to his credit, he's had some good years. I mean, granted, he's not a top-of-the-rotation starter, but he was a guy you could count on to pitch pretty well for an entire season.
To me, he's had two good games. He's thrown two no-hitters. That's why he got that big deal. He's a 500 pitcher other than that.
Yeah.
He got a bigger contract than Waino. Think about that.
Really?
He got a $100 million contract. Waino was just under it. Who you taking?
Waino was...
He's like 97 and a half.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably can't even afford to live
that's
on
just,
that.
That's
pennies. Pennies on the dollar, David.
That's Walt Jocketty's reputation. You know, he's spent some money with the Reds, and he's invested it all in three guys. He's got to pick Waito now too.
He's invested it all in three guys and ex washed up Cardinals.
Yeah,
Skip Schumacher is still on the Reds. I'll take Mozeliak over Jocketty.
I tell you,
every day of the week.
I would like to have Schumacher on my bench right now, though.
Oh, he's been a good, versatile ball player on good clubs.
He's one of my favorites. Maybe that's just a personal bias of mine. But
I can no problem Skip Schumacher. I do not miss watching him, though, do his batting glove thing.
Well, yeah, he was definitely probably one of the pace of play.
I wonder how
guys.
That's working out for him.
We'll find out. This is the month. Because all the umpires were taking notes in April. Now they're going to actually, they've issued warnings to teams through like emails or mail or whatever. They've let them know. Through
it's baseball, they're sending faxes still.
Okay, sure. They're sending faxes, letting them know who are the big guys that are breaking these pace of play rules. And now I think they're supposed to start enforcing it as of yesterday.
I would say through the first month, it's worked.
It's worked.
I mean, the games are crisper.
Right, but there are a few guys who still aren't following. Like Ryan Braun, for example, won the series in St. Louis. Braun wasn't in the batter's box. I mean, he was walking all around the field, and there were guys that were like, he's going to be one of those guys that they're going to have to talk to. Got to have one foot in the batter's box. That's the rule now.
Well, because that's what the veterans say. It's all about the routine. We'll see how important the routine is when money's coming out of their pocket.
Offense seems to be up, though, too. That's the surprising thing. Is like, the pace? I would have figured the pace of play would benefit the pitchers because a lot of pitchers like to work in that quick, that fast-paced routine. But, I mean, the offense seems... Maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems like the offense is a lot better right now.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers. I mean, it definitely seems like there's a lot of low-scoring games to me.
Okay. Well, maybe it's just the Cardinals' offense is better.
This week it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're talking about this week.
Well, it's been consistent. Even this whole season, it's been better than it was last year to this point. Because, I mean...
And we knew it would be.
Right.
Their offense last year was so bad, and there was really no reason for it. Because they had proven players... with track record. Mm-hmm. So the odds of that happening again this year really weren't very good at all. They're not a home run hitting team. I don't understand why people get so caught up in the home runs. I don't care about home runs.
Yeah, that
doesn't
bother me.
If they're hitting doubles at the clip, they're hitting doubles. That's just fine.
Home runs are rally killers.
They are. Doubles are not.
Yes. Doubles are rally creators and extenders.
We'll have them today, 12:20 on AM 1540 Cards and Pirates. We need a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, Tim along with David. And David, it is a big fight weekend, and it's been a long time since that has been said. And they weren't talking about the UFC as Mayweather-Pacquiao. They square off tonight. Finally, it'll take place in Vegas at the MGM Grand. They had the weigh-in yesterday. 146 pounds for Mayweather, 145 pounds for Pacquiao. When I heard those numbers, I mean, I knew they were their welterweights, but heavyweights, they are not.
No, I'm much heavier than both of them.
but they have no body fat, David.
True.
Details.
Yeah.
Details.
Pshaw. I don't remember. Perhaps you could speak to this better because you are older than I am. Not by much, but still you are older
than
that's
very kind, yes. David. That's very kind.
I don't remember the last fight. Boxing match, that is, that mattered as much as this does. I don't remember the last one that was as big as this one.
It's been a long time. I don't consider myself to be a boxing expert by any stretch of the imagination. But I would say the last fight that I can remember really where the general public was so interested would be like Tyson Holyfield. Like the first one, when Iron Mike was coming out of prison and he had fought a couple of tune-ups and then he got his shot at Holyfield. That fight, that was a big deal. That was a real big deal. And then, of course, you know, the ear-biting fight and all that, that turned out to be a bit of a circus. But that's what I think, like Tyson Holyfield. Yeah. Maybe we got to go back that far. And really, you could probably take it back even further than that and get back into like the late 80s, kind of the end of the heyday of boxing. It might have been all the way back then, like a Tyson Spinks type of deal.
And you know, I'm no boxing expert either. I don't watch it just because in my lifetime there've been no. I mean, and this is what I'm talking about. There's been nothing to watch. And this is honestly, we've talked about this before. This is the only fight probably ever that's going to matter anymore. I mean, boxing's dying. It's dying badly. And I mean, this is the last great fight.
This will be the first boxing pay-per-view that I have ever been involved in, going over to Buddy's house tonight. We're going to get the fight. I've gotten lots of UFC fights over the year. I've been a UFC guy for quite a while. I love the UFC. We can get into that a little bit later with John Bones Jones. He is in a lot of trouble, and I don't know why I expect
Wasn't he a
more...
boxer, too? Was he not a boxer before?
Might have been, or a wrestler.
Okay.
But I don't know why I continue to expect more from people who get hit in the head for a living.
Yeah.
I do. I don't know why. But he gets in a hit-and-run accident, runs away, runs back to his car, grabs a large amount of cash, and then runs away again.
Gotta get that money.
Yeah. Felony hit-and-run. So he's been stripped of his title. He's probably on his way to prison. So kind of strange that that happens the same week that the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight is happening.
Probably would have been a big story had this fight not been happening.
This fight has swallowed up everything. It swallowed up the Kentucky Derby.
Everybody forgot maybe not everybody, but a lot of people forgot when the Kentucky Derby was. I forgot it was
this today.
Weekend. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Kentucky Derby is this weekend.
Apparently there's no really favorite to win the Triple Crown, so perhaps that's why the hype hasn't been
quite as good. Who the favorite was in the Derby? Let's see. Dortmund and American Pharoah, if I'm pronouncing the first one right, they are the betting favorites as of yesterday. Dortmund and American Pharoah. So if you're going to go put money down, those are your betting favorites.
So that'll be this afternoon. The fight's tonight. And it's out in Vegas. So probably like 11:30, I think I heard, is when Mayweather and Pacquiao will actually get underway. And this fight should have happened 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Think about how big this fight would have been if it would have happened 5 years ago when these guys were still kind of in their prime.
If Mayweather wouldn't have ducked the fight so much, then it would have happened. But Mayweather was convinced that Pacquiao was cheating, and he probably was not.
And there is blood testing today.
Yeah.
Day of the fight blood testing. So
and
that's probably happening like right now.
Yeah. I mean, and Pacquiao was okay with the drug testing. He just didn't want it like
the day of the fight.
Yeah, the day of the fight because, it could take it out of you.
Yeah.
So
Mayweather wants to protect that zero in the right-hand column.
It's, you know, one thing that this fight, it's going to be very interesting. I am pulling hard for Pacquiao. I'm not going to be shy about that just because of the way Mayweather has handled this whole thing. Plus, a lot of people don't like Mayweather
anyway.
He's
not a good person.
No, he's not. He's really not.
Google Floyd Mayweather and see what comes up.
Well, I think he's been accused and maybe even convicted of sexual assault, or not sexual assault.
Domestic
violence, yeah.
He served jail time.
Yeah. Plus, he's just a grade-A jerk anyway. And Pacquiao's a really likable guy. If Pacquiao pulls, maybe he's not an upset. If Pacquiao wins this fight and it's not a knockout, you know Mayweather's going to cry foul play.
Oh, yeah, he won't recognize it.
Yeah, it's going to be cheated. Plus, there's probably going to be a rematch. He's going to be able to reclaim his throne. But this fight isn't going to count because, you know, Pacquiao will have cheated somehow. I mean, it's not going to be a fair fight if Pacquiao wins unless he knocks him out.
And, that, you know, David, that's always been why I've always had a hard time getting into boxing. I've always said if boxing, like in real life, was like a Rocky movie, I'd be down. It'd be the greatest sport in the world. But it's not. There's no punches thrown anymore, it doesn't seem like. You hear all this talk about Floyd Mayweather. They call him the greatest defensive boxer of all time.
Well, that's great.
That's boring.
Yeah.
Like, my greatest fear is that everybody's going to plop down $100 for this pay-per-view, and it's going to be 12 rounds of dancing and jabbing. And then a unanimous decision for Floyd Mayweather.
Well, and that's
why, what's going to happen.
That's why a lot of people think Mayweather will win this fight was because 5 years ago Pacquiao probably could have beat him. And not to say Pacquiao can't beat him now, and he can. But, I mean, Pacquiao's 5 years older, and the style of fighter that Pacquiao is, he may not be able to wear Mayweather down.
I just hope somebody gets knocked out.
Yeah.
I want to see a knockout.
I'll go more specific. I want to see Pacquiao knock Mayweather out. That would be fantastic.
That would be something.
Yeah. Because then, what have you got to argue with? I mean, you lost.
Well, and Mayweather, I guess, came out this week or last week and said that he was the greatest of all time, and he was including Muhammad Ali in that phrase. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's not just because, a lot of people like to hang on to their greatests of all time. Like, they like to think Ali and those people, they don't like change happening.
Right.
But this is valid because he's not a heavyweight.
Right.
I mean, heavyweight's where it's at. I mean, you can't, yeah. And it's also not fair necessarily to compare the two because they are such different weight classes.
And you would always hear pound for pound the best. Yeah. He didn't say that.
Right.
He said greatest ever.
Yeah.
I think he actually went out of his way to say that he was better than Ali.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
I know it's not true. Yeah. I don't think it's a good idea to say it.
No.
It got Mike Tyson riled up.
Well,
Iron Mike was not happy.
Tyson's a fighter. That's a boxer right there.
Yeah, that's a mean man.
Yeah.
I love Mike Tyson personally. I think that dude's awesome.
Well,
because you know why? Because he was a bad, troubled young man. And he seemingly, he went to prison. He paid his price. He seemingly has turned his life around. He seems to be trying to work for the greater good now.
And he was still fighting, he was still boxing after he got out of prison, correct?
Oh, yeah. That's when he bit Holyfield's ear off.
Right. You really want to go into, before you fought the guy, you really want to go into the ring.
Yeah, now he's prison crazy.
Yeah, he's been in prison. I mean, this dude, come on. I don't want to be anywhere near that guy.
No thanks.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Let alone a fight.
He's got a face tat.
Yeah.
He's bit a man's ear off and has a face tat and threatened to eat another man's children.
Lennox Lewis.
Don't mess with that guy. Don't mess with him. You leave him alone. He's serious.
People have said a lot of crazy things. That was one of the crazy things that was believable. I will eat his children. Yeah, I think he.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I believe him for some strange reason.
Yeah. That right there, that was a fighter.
Yeah, Mike Tyson called Mayweather delusional for suggesting that he was better than Ali. And I think that's probably pretty much what everyone would.
True story.
With.
I mean, that's right.
You would have to be.
I mean, Mayweather is just he's so built up in his own
mind.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a legend in his own mind.
Yeah. I don't know what he's gonna do with himself if he gets knocked out.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. Because it's one thing to be 47-0. If you're 47-1, oh man,
that's a lot different, isn't it?
And you can have the rematch and beat him again, but. I mean, you're 47-1, man. You lost to Pacquiao. You lost to an aged Pacquiao at that. Not when Pacquiao was in his prime. You lost to Pacquiao when he was older. I mean, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah, I'm excited for it just from the standpoint, like I said, I've never gotten a boxing pay-per-view before.
I haven't either.
So we'll see what happens.
And I won't this time. You know, I considered it, but $100, that's... The fight could go one round for all.
Group and split it.
And the fight could go one round for all I know. I'm not paying $100 for a potential one round.
Right. It's boxing, though. That's always more of a threat, I feel, with the UFC than with boxing. It's not Mike Tyson.
Right, but the UFC, you get about 7 or 8 matches.
Well, I think the boxing pay-per-view is the same way, though. There'll be undercards.
Okay.
There'll be undercards.
I've only ever paid for one UFC fight. I've never paid for a boxing match. And I did realize with the UFC fight, you did get about like 6 or 7 fights.
Yeah, it's a full night. They got a full card of full card of action.
Okay,
as they would say.
Let's talk derby a little bit.
We talk the derby.
Since I just want to explain to people, in case they don't realize how difficult it is now to win the Triple Crown.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah,
it is.
Well, it hasn't been done since what, 77, 78?
I think 78.
Was that Secretariat? Was he the last one?
Yes.
Well, anyway, what people don't realize, and last year California Chrome was the big story because he was supposed to be the next great horse since Secretariat. But what people don't realize is it's so, like Major League Baseball and the bullpen, it's so specialized now.
Hmm.
Horses are, and obviously our farm director, Angela, would know this better because she's a big horse buff too. But it's so specialized. Like some horses are sprinters, like with your classic track stars also. Some are sprinters, some are distance guys now. And the difference in track when it comes, it's what? The Belmont is last, right?
Yeah, it's long.
Yeah, that's such a long race compared to the other two. I mean, you got to be a special kind of horse to win that race. And that's why it doesn't happen anymore. Plus, certain horses aren't racing all three lengths anymore. I mean, some horses are only racing the Belmont. Some are only racing the Derby or the Preakness.
See, I have a problem with that. I think if it's a true Triple Crown series, then that's what it is. And if you don't run in the Derby, you don't get to run in the next two. You know, you must run in all three. Like, if you don't run in the Derby or the Preakness, you can't just show up for the Belmont. If it's a true Triple Crown series, it should be the same however many horses it is. You know, you qualify for the Triple Crown, whether, you know, you qualify 20, and then you're going to have scratches and all that. But I think you should have to run in all three.
And, yeah, there's debate about that. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I haven't made up my mind yet. I do understand that horses are different, and maybe they just don't want to – I mean, they know they're not going to win the Derby or the Preakness, so –
Well, it's like anything else, so much money involved.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly don't have an opinion yet on that stance. But, yeah, it is a big debate now, especially with last year, because I think the horse who won the race over California Chrome was one that hadn't run maybe he had run one of the previous two stakes, but he hadn't run both of them. So, and it was a big talk last year after Chrome lost was, you know, should horses have to run all three legs of the Triple Crown?
I think we need to get some sort of, like, jockey fighting instituted here. Build up the anticipation. You know, you got to do something. The Derby was overshadowed all week from the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. They should have been pumping jockey fights.
Well, and Angela and I have talked about this before, why you don't see a lot of female jockeys.
You don't, do you?
Yeah, and it's odd because...
That's a pretty rough business, though.
Yeah, but you would think that... The jockeys are—they're smaller and they're lighter, so you would think that would be kind of an advantage. Is that why we don't see a lot of female jockeys? Because maybe a lot of the male jockeys would see it as a disadvantage because they're lighter and, you know.
Well, there very well could be a good old boys club with that.
It could be, yeah.
Very well could be. I don't know, but I've always wondered how someone becomes a jockey. You know, like is there a little kid out there somewhere, like 7 or 8 years old, that wants to be a jockey? I'm serious. There probably is. Probably not in this country.
I don't know. What is the dream
of a jockey?
Is some
kid going to sit down somewhere around the world today and watch the Derby and think, that's going to be me someday?
We need to somehow get a jockey on this program and interview him and be able to ask him that. You know, what caused you? You know, what was your inspiration to get into this business?
And I think that would be absolutely terrifying to be a jockey. Like in one of those horse races? My goodness. I mean, they're so bunched up. If you fall off, you're in a bit of a tricky spot.
Well, I mean, and there's video of there's some pretty bad accidents.
Absolutely.
Well, plus, what if, and I mean, obviously, you may not be in danger for this. The jockey may not be in danger for this. But if your horse gets hurt, and you know you have to put him down on the track, what's that like? I mean, that's gotta suck.
Yeah. Well, that happened a few years ago, a number of years ago.
It's happened a couple
at the Derby,
times, I think.
That's awful.
There's the thing with Barbaro. Of course, he didn't die on the track, but. I think the Preakness, he got hurt out of the starting gate, and they tried to do surgery, but it didn't work. They had to put him down, and, you know, just bad things.
Yeah. Heart-wrenching.
Yeah, it is.
So hopefully all the animals make it out 100% healthy after the race today. And I haven't seen what the weather's like down in Kentucky. Is it a mutter? Is it a mutter type of day? Probably not.
I don't know.
His fodder was a mutter.
His fodder was a mutter? His mutter was a mutter. Mutter was
so you got to get your mint julep out, get the biggest, ugliest hat you can find, and sit down and watch the Derby this afternoon.
Yeah.
See what happens. This is the biggest sporting weekend that
it's such a
we've
build-up
had
too, for
in
a
while.
Very quick event.
Oh, after it's over in what? Fastest races. 2 minutes in sports, they call it.
Right, and the buildup is like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah,
like the pre-race coverage is like it's like starts at noon and the race isn't until like 5.
Super Bowl worthy pregame coverage.
Yeah, which is amazing. I mean, I don't know what you could talk about for 5 hours with something that's going to happen in 2 minutes.
They've never had a problem before.
Apparently not. Just get a lot of sponsors.
Exactly. That's always the key. So you got the Derby, you got the fight, and oh, by the way, A-Rod hit his 660th career homer last night, tying Willie Mays, and Finley did it at Boston.
The quietest milestone of his career.
Except for all the boos that rained down on him as he rounded the bases.
Of course.
And rightfully so. It was awesome. The Boston guy who caught the ball, caught it, cheered for a brief moment because he caught the ball, and then just went into a full-throated boo with his thumbs down.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He'll be trying to sell that ball, though.
Well, I would imagine he gave it to A-Rod and got.
You think
so? I would think he gave it to A-Rod and got some sort of signed jersey or bat.
But he's a Boston fan.
Yeah, but I mean, official signed merchandise is still official merchandise. I don't care if you're a Red Sox fan or not. I'll put it this way, David. As a Cardinal fan, you wouldn't take, if you caught a home run ball from, just say, Rizzo, or 20, 15 years now from Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, honestly, you wouldn't give him the ball in exchange for an autographed piece of Cubs memorabilia? I think you would.
It would depend on the guy. To be
I just told you
no,
the guy.
No. Most of the guys I would, but you gotta look at it at this point. It's A-Rod,
right.
The most hated guy in baseball history arguably. Playing for the Yankees, who you hate. I mean, you compound those things on each other. I don't know.
Do you think he asked them, could you get me Derek Jeter's autograph?
Well,
can you give me the captain?
I would have respected him for that, yeah.
Right.
Could I meet Jeter? Is he here?
Oh, I don't care about you. Where's Jeter? He doesn't play anymore. Oh. We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. Going to be a great sporting weekend. Enjoy it. Going to be a beautiful day of weather. Get out and enjoy that as well. Cardinals on the radio today, 12:20 on WQSMI AM 1540.